Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Let my people go. That is what we are pushing across the country against these unconstitutional COVID restrictions on places of worship. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. You know, that "let my people go" comes from the book of Exodus, and that's what Moses continually mentioned to Pharaoh. And it appeared that Pharaoh sometimes would agree and decide to let the people of Israel go. At first, he said no, then he said yes, then he changed his mind, then he said yes, then he changed his mind. And finally, he was brought to a place where he had no choice but to say yes. But even then, we know he changed his mind. And that's what we have with these governors. These governors and mayors across the country, Holly, they have tasted extraordinary power that none of us would have imagined they would exercise until we got into the COVID restrictions.
You know, we started that saying, "let my people go," back in March when we did the reopen church, and we were really trying to encourage pastors to open their churches. And now it's December and we're still talking about
now
it.
Now it's December, we're still talking
about
it. You know, we've had now three cases go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and one of them out of California, the Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry case, we just got a great ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. There's been two good rulings from the U.S. Supreme Court. One was on the day before Thanksgiving, and the other was exactly about a week later, and that was in our case. Mm-hmm. In the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn versus Cuomo in New York, the Supreme Court had some strong language about New York's restrictions on places of worship. And in that particular situation, the restrictions were no more than 10 people in a particular zone and no more than 25 people in a place of worship in another zone. But just before the Supreme Court considered the case, the governor tried to gerrymand everything and move the churches and synagogues out of the worst restrictions. He wanted the court to punt, and Roberts was ready to punt. But Roberts, even with the other five, said that these restrictions, he said, likely violate the First Amendment. The other five said they clearly violate the First Amendment and gave some strong language. And then a week later, in our case, that was pending for an emergency injunction pending appeal, they granted our petition, they vacated all the orders below, and they gave specific instructions, which is essentially a roadmap. The simplest way to conceptualize this is the Supreme Court issued a roadmap and they gave it to the courts and said, "This is the roadmap that we want you to follow." And when you follow that roadmap, it leads to one inevitable destination. And that is, particularly for California, the COVID restrictions violate the First Amendment. So that's where we are back in California. We're also litigating in the other states where we have other cases ongoing as well.
Yeah, these Democratic governors, they love these coded edicts that they've given their state, you know, and in New York he did that, and in California he did that. But they're even more severe in California, where you have more than 99% of the Californians in the state cannot worship, either in church or in their home. You know, and then our churches, Harvest Rock Church, has been getting these threatening letters that are threatening fines, you know, possible imprisonment, possible closure. I mean, it's just tragic what's going on.
It's unbelievable. So in California, like you said, most of the state, no worship. And when I say no worship, that doesn't mean no more than 10 people. That doesn't mean no more than 25 people.
Nada.
That means no worship.
Yeah.
Can you spell N-O? That means
right.
Nothing. That means one person can't go in the church. Two people can't go in the church and worship, no matter how big the church is. You couldn't have two people in a church that seats 5,000 and they're sitting on opposite ends, the furthest apart possible, and worship with someone on the stage preaching. You couldn't have those two or three people there to do it.
But
that is criminal in California.
But yeah, they could have social services that could feed people, or they could give them job counseling or things like that in the same building. But as soon as the it becomes any kind of worship or devotional or preaching, anything,
that goes to show you that you have to look at the content of the message of what they're doing.
Right.
If they're engaged in non-worship, non-religious meetings, then it's permissible. So the church could feed people. And we're talking about feeding them at the same table. We're not talking about like handing out food in a line. We're talking about bringing them inside the church. They can feed them.
They could even shelter them, can't they, if they need to?
They can shelter them. They can provide places for them to stay during the day, overnight. And they don't have any numerical or percentage of the building capacity limits.
So they could all sleep in the sanctuary, but they can't worship there.
Right, or in the gym, wherever, it doesn't matter. Wherever they can bed down or sleep, they can do that. And they can also have people packed into their church, and they can provide what they call social services and necessities of life. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't define what necessities of life is, but what we do know is social services, necessities of life would include counseling on how to find a job, counseling on how to apply for unemployment benefits, counseling on how to apply for disability benefits, or any other kind of counseling that's not worship, not religious meetings. But then that same church, the pastor can be up there doing the counseling on unemployment, disability, whatever. But then when that pastor or that church wants to transition to Bible studies for spiritual food, to communion as opposed to a full-blown meal, to a worship service instead of counseling on disability benefits, then the restrictions kick in. And in California, it's no worship at all. And the penalty is daily criminal charges. Each one carries up to 1 year in prison. And again, that's some of the worst penalties in other parts of the country. You might have criminal charges up to 2 months, 6 months in prison. No, in California, up to a year in prison.
And that's for the pastors, the staff, and the people that come to attend the church.
Yeah, and
so when they come to worship, they come at risk of going to prison and having fines.
And the pastor has had to tell the congregation that by coming to church, they're risking not only daily fines, but criminal charges as well.
That's communism.
Can you imagine?
Communism.
Going to church and you're sitting down and the pastor says, we just got a letter from the criminal prosecutor threatening all of our pastoral staff, all of the staff, and you, and anybody that you bring. Anybody that comes into this church, you're all being threatened with a criminal charge from the actual Pasadena criminal prosecutor. Each charge carries up to a year in prison.
But you know, Matt, we are so proud of our pastors. They are people that are willing to stand up and say, let my people go. I have a First Amendment right to worship, and you will not impede upon that, no matter the cost.
And you know, I know some people at the beginning of this, when we were messaging, they said, well, you know, it's time not to assert your rights. This is not just about asserting your rights. First of all, we have rights. And those rights don't come from government, by the way. They come from God. And when you have rights that do come from God, I think you do need to assert them. But beyond asserting your God-given rights that have been affirmed and recognized by the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, besides that, which, by the way, Paul asserted his rights as a Roman citizen, and thus the reason he was able to appeal his case and get to Rome. Thus the reason why, when he was wrongfully beaten without due process, he raised the rights as a Roman citizen. So when it was to advance the gospel, he did use his rights because the greater cause was advancing the gospel. But here, it's more than the rights. It's the people. The people need fellowship. And with the COVID lockdowns, the loss of business, the uncertainty, all the different fear that has been imposed by the media, by governments, the people need the church more than ever. Because the depression, anxiety, the domestic abuse, child abuse, pornography, alcohol consumption, legal and illegal drug use, all of those have gone up. And the church is the hospital. It's the spiritual hospital for the community and for their people.
And they've been dealing with this for 9 months.
And it's time to end this. And we're doing it. So continue to pray for us as we continue to sound the alarm, let my people go. We got a great win at the U.S. Supreme Court. And now we just need to unlock the cells that these governors have tried to put in pastors and churches and places of worship and let them go. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. Go to our subscribe button where you can subscribe to our emails and our newsletters, lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.